Before we continue, we're going to hear a skit called After the Party. It is a dialogue between Mary and Martha.
Well, that was a disaster. The falafels were burnt, the yogurt was watery, and I didn't have time to go into town to get the good wine. I've never been so disappointed in myself. And you, Mary, I am really disappointed in you, too. The dinner might have been a success if you just helped me.
I did help you all morning.
Yeah, but as soon as Jesus walked in, you were useless. You were just sitting there, gaga, about whatever he had to say, at his feet, like one of the disciples. Like a man. You know women are supposed to be in the kitchen.
Well, Jesus said it was good I was listening to him.
Yeah, I know. I heard him. Mary chose the good part. Whatever that's supposed to mean. I've never been so humiliated. It was so unfair. I was up at dawn, working, and I was trying to make this meal special for Jesus, and he just criticizes me.
Well, maybe he didn't care if the food was special. I mean, he has been known to fast for 40 days. Maybe he was just grateful for any meal.
And that's no way to treat an honored guest.
Says who?
Says everybody. I mean, I can't just throw some tasteless meal down on the table. And for Jesus, I feel like a failure. You have to admit, Mary, you know I have a good reputation in this town. I've heard people say, now Martha, that's a woman who knows how to practice hospitality.
Yeah, so you're just worried about your reputation.
No, I mean, yes. I just try to be good, and look where it gets me. You're clearly Jesus' favorite. He just doesn't like me, and that's what really hurts.
How can you say that? Didn't you see that huge smile he had on his face when you greeted him at the door?
No, I didn't notice. I think I was trying not to spill the tub of water I'd brought for his feet.
Or didn't you hear him say you and I are two of his best friends?
No, I think I was in the kitchen.
And he wasn't trying to criticize you, Martha. I saw the love in his eyes when he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted. Didn't you see it too?
Oh, I was just trying to get your attention so you'd help me.
Maybe that's the good part. Maybe that's the good part you missed, Martha. You were too busy to see how much Jesus loves you. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reporter once asked a successful businesswoman what the key to her success was, and she said two words, good decisions. And he said, well, how do you decide what to do? How do you make good decisions? And she said one word, experience. And he says, well, how do you get experience? And she said two words, bad decisions. In this morning's gospel lesson, we hear Mary and Martha making decisions, one good, one bad, and we really are the ones who learn from their experience. To explain how distraught Martha was, Luke uses a word he only uses in this place in the whole New Testament, or is used in this place in the whole New Testament. It's a word meaning distracted, being pulled in different places at the same time. You think of the guy wires that hold up a TV antenna, and they pull it in different opposite ways so that it will be stable. But we know that when we are pulled in opposite ways, it paralyzes us. It leaves us inefficient and distraught, like Martha was. And when Martha was paralyzed like that, she just simply became angry. Now, why does this happen? Why did she need to be perfect? I think sometimes we are given this role of perfection very subtly from our families, or maybe we pick it up from society, and we feel disappointed with ourselves if we aren't perfect. I remember that when my mother entertained, she did it quite perfectly. She always put out the best china, maybe the best silver. She had kind of an elaborate meal. And so even to this day, I'm hesitant to invite people over because in my mind, that is how you entertain people. Well, once long ago when we were living in Nebraska, Keith and I invited a couple over for dinner at a future date, and then we went on vacation. Unfortunately, we forgot to put it on the calendar. So one Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we got a call from this couple saying, "Oh, we're so sorry, but we're going to be a half hour late for dinner at your house." Well, I will tell you, we were not distracted for that half hour. We went to the store, we bought things, we put meat on the grill, we tidied up. And actually, it turned out to be a very nice meal. And we were still talking the other day about a conversation we had with that couple. It wasn't, of course, the food. It was the sharing and the caring that was important. Someone once asked the French chef, Jacques Pepin, what his most memorable meal was. And he said it was in August of 1944 in Paris, when the American troops came in and liberated the city from Nazi control, and a GI shared a candy bar with me from his rations. It wasn't about the food. It was about the caring and the sharing. Of course, that's what Martha didn't get. And so she was so distraught. And you can just hear, I think, Jesus' words to her. He was not angry with Martha. He felt sorry for her. He said, "Martha, Martha, there's just one thing you need, and Mary has chosen it, and I won't take that away from her." Just one thing you need. You know, what is that? We have thought, I think scholars have always wrestled with that, and I think we naturally do wonder, what was he talking about? Because he didn't ever explain it. This morning, I'd like to suggest that the one thing Martha needed was to know that Jesus loved her, whether her food was good or not. He loved her in her entirety, the good and the bad. And that is the one thing we need to know, that Jesus loves us, that Jesus loves us through the bad parts, and that because of what he's done, his life and death and resurrection, we are different. Paul says it so beautifully. He says we are holy, blameless, and irreproachable before God because of what Jesus did. The perfection that we strive so to achieve has already been given us. That's a gift. We have it. And that's what Martha didn't understand. Mary, on the other hand, did. She believed in Jesus' love so much that she had the audacity to sit at his feet. Now, what that means is that she believed she could be his disciple. To sit at someone's feet that's the way a teacher taught. The teacher would sit, the pupils would sit around. But that was audacious on the part of Mary. Women did not go to school. They were property. They were owned by their fathers and then by their husbands. And their role was to be in the kitchen, and it was to take care of the children, not to learn. But Mary believed Jesus loved her enough to defy the limitations that society put on her. And that is still the power of God's love today, to defy the evil limitations that society puts on people. Yesterday, I was with a group of women that we meet every so often, African-American, Caucasian. We talk about race issues. And some of the white women were asking our black sisters, "How do you do it? How, after so many injustices in your lives and your fathers and mothers and your grandparents, how are you not resentful?" And one woman said, "God." She said, "We have to forgive or we can't move forward. We have to leave the judging up to God. We have to ask God to make us forgiving. That's how we move forward." It's the one thing we need to know. It's God's love. And we learn it again and again. I mean, it's something we forget because it's so unbelievable unless we sit at Jesus' feet. Well, we can't, of course, since he's not walking the earth as he did, but we do. You are here today. We are sitting at Jesus' feet. We do when you open your Bibles. When we come to Christ in prayer, we are learning. We are letting that love soak into us. And we are not distracted because we have that anchor. It was said of Luther that one day he said, I have so much to do, I know I have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Prayer is what gives us our path. And not only day to day, but in our lives. It gives us a path forward. It gives us stamina to keep working in this difficult world. And it is a difficult world. This was the last horrible week again of a number of weeks with that carnage in France. And it makes us want to turn off the news and just say, you know, it's hopeless. And yet, the same God who loves and likes us in all of our imperfections loves the world God made, the good and the bad. And not only that, but God has forgiven this world. And so God gives us the strength to face it, and not only that, but to do something about it. As we know this one thing needful, as we know God's love, we share it. Person to person, we share it. In our prayers, we share it. In letters to Congress, we share it. In the deeds that we do, and deed by deed, and prayer by prayer, and conversation by conversation, we bring this love into the world. And that is what God gives us strength to do. Because even today, it is the knowledge of God's love that can break and defy and change the evil restrictions of the world. It is the one thing needful that God uses to change our world. Amen.